time the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people."
The Savior, yes, the Messiah. The Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in stripes of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
So glad you're here this morning to celebrate Christmas, and I hope that you're looking forward to the next couple of days and that you have lots of gatherings planned and good times. This is we're going to do a short message from this gospel reading and the Christmas story. And I just want to point out to you that this whole month we've been focusing on the angels' perspective of Christmas, because I think that angels get a lot of attention in our culture, and we need to see that they're not just a sideshow, they're just not a little bling, as I've heard one person say, to the Christmas story, that angels actually have a God-ordained purpose in the Christmas story. And have you noticed that? Have you, as you listen to the Christmas carols, as you read the Christmas story, do you see that angels are not a sideshow? Angels are a part of God's plan and purpose, and he uses them as such. The angels' involvement is not secondary to the Christmas story. Therefore, we need to understand the perspective and the role of angels biblically in this greatest miracle in history, because that's what Christmas is. Christmas is the greatest miracle in history. It's where God, in his great rescue effort, intervened in what was happening in the world. Because the heart of Christmas is supernatural. And that's something I think that gets lost. You know, when in our culture, we're fighting over whether there can be nativity scenes in certain locations and whether it's politically correct to say Merry Christmas or not, I think in the midst of all of that happening in culture, we as Christians need to recenter ourselves and focus on the fact that the very heart of the Christmas story, before it's a question of whether it's politically correct, it's supernatural. That there is no Christmas apart from God breaking into what we'd consider our natural everyday lives. And the miracle of Christmas is the incarnation. And that's a word that we don't use every day. It's a word that I would say even a lot of Christians may not be able to define. And it's simply this: the incarnation is Jesus. Jesus is fully God and fully human. The incarnation is the God who is spirit and dwells completely holy, separate from his creation, took on flesh indwelt among his creation. That's the incarnation. That's the Christmas miracle. That's why we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus on Christmas Day, because Christmas is Jesus' birthday. It's when the God who is spirit, who stands holy and apart from all of his creation, entered into his creation to rescue us from the sin that keeps us from having a relationship with God. The other big word we use for Christmas is Emmanuel. And Emmanuel simply means this. That word is actually defined in the Bible for us. Emmanuel means God is with us. So in the same way that Jesus is the incarnation, he is God who took on flesh and became one of us, Emmanuel means that God is with us. Now, if you know the big story of the Bible, you know that God, at one point in history, had walked with humanity. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden when he first created us. But then we chose to try to figure out how to live life in a way that makes us happy apart from God's ways. And that's what Adam and Eve did. They tried to do something according to what they thought would be right and didn't listen to God. And that's called sin. Sin is when we do things that try to make us happy apart from God's ways of living. Now, when that first happened, it's called the fall. And when the fall happened, God stopped being with us because there is now a separation called sin that broke the relationship between us and God. That is why we needed Christmas. We needed Christmas because before the foundations of the earth, God knew that he would have to do something to restore our relationship that would break because of our own stubbornness, our pride. And so Christmas is God entering into creation to rescue us, to forgive us, to make things right. So at the heart of the big story of the Bible, you have Christmas. Before Christmas is just a day or two off from work, and before Christmas is family gathering together. Before Christmas is the hustle and bustle of shopping and making sure everything's orderly and just right. Before all that, it's a pause. It's a deep breath. It's a remembrance to say, thank you, God. This day is no more holy than any other day. But it's a day we pause and we say, thank you. It's a day we remember. It's a day we celebrate. Christmas, I'm going to say this one more time. Christmas is God's rescue mission to humanity. And the angels, who are such a large part of this rescue mission, are God's heavenly host. That's the words of Scripture in Luke 2:13. The angels are God's heavenly host. And the angels are participating fully in heaven invading earth. When God took an incredible, beyond human comprehension step from heaven to earth to do more than simply show us the way how to live, he made a way for us to have peace with him. What does the word host mean? If the angels are the heavenly host, what does the word host mean? It's not like the host or hostess of a party. When you have people over your house for Christmas, you host. In the Bible, the word host means army. The angels are God's well-trained army prepared for war. God's angels are organized and ready to respond to every desire and command of God. Angels are not a little bling in the Christmas story to make it more marketable to a pop culture consumer. Angels are not like the lights on the tree to make it more festive. Before angels were key characters in your favorite Hallmark movie, angels were important messengers and ministers to the cast of characters in the actual historical event that is the Christmas story. This is an actual historic event that we remember on this day set apart for remembrance, December 25th. The loyal host of heaven have been watching the big story of God unfold from the beginning. In fact, the Bible indicates that the angels were singing for joy at creation time. And the Bible also indicates that in the new heavens and the new earth, the angels will be there as well. The angels had front row seats in the very presence of God in heaven. They have front row seats in the very presence of God in heaven. They had front row seats at the Christmas miracle that first Christmas morning. But they heard something that first Christmas morning that the angels never expected to hear. Because the angels did not know the mind of God. And do you know what they heard? We saw this remembrance when Mary and Joseph had baby Jesus. What do babies do when they're born? They cry. And baby Jesus was no exception to that. It's just a biological reality of taking your first breath. And can you imagine what it would have been like for angels who had been in the presence of God for thousands of years and knew God in his Godhead, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they saw the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, who took on flesh and cried in an animal in a manger where animals are. That blows my mind to think that beings who had been in the presence of God for thousands of years, who knew the glory and the majesty of God, would all of a sudden see God as a baby, crying in the hands of a teenage mother. But it didn't stop there, because the angels also watched the historical events of baby Jesus growing up, becoming a man, fulfilling every ancient prophecy of the Messiah. Jesus would die a perfect death. He would live a perfect life and die a substitutionary death on the cross for you and me. The angels watched this in awe, never themselves needing God's mercy or grace, because they've had perfect submission and perfect worship to God. But for us, God's image bearers, they experienced not only the miracle, which is Christmas, but they saw the miracle, which is Easter, where God himself took on the sins of humanity so that we could be made right again, so that we could have a relationship with God, so that Emmanuel, God is with us, does not have to stop just because Jesus died, rose again, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Emmanuel is still a reality for his people today because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus defeated death and hell itself, forever removing the sting of death. Jesus, baby Jesus, God, eternal. And let's hear what those angels had to say one more time. In Luke 2, let's hear this proclamation, just these six verses. And the angel of the Lord, verse 9, Luke 2, and the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Good news of great joy That's the gospel. Jesus came to deliver good news. Verse 11, for today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Remember, host means army, of God's army, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. So the angels who are in his presence know who he is and declare who he is. Glory to God in the highest. And then the angels proclaim a message. They proclaim a message to humanity that says, peace. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. And then the angels went away. The angels make promises to the shepherds. And what did the shepherds do? They go. The shepherds go and find out if what these angelic beings say is true. And do they find everything the angels said to be as the angels said it would be? Absolutely. In verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying God and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And those angels worshiped baby Jesus, not because it was any ordinary baby. Because as much as we love our babies, we don't worship our babies. And if you start worshiping your baby, eventually after a couple of nights, you'll stop. It only takes a couple of dirty diapers and a couple of sleepless nights before you start worshiping that baby. This was not an ordinary baby. This is God. And the angels were the proclaimers of the peace that God was making available to humanity, to us. And just like with the angels, you too can be forever touched if you seek to explore the supernatural promises that God made to humanity on that first Christmas morning. Because you see, the angels went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, because they had verified the truth of what God proclaimed to be the purpose of Christmas. And you too can experience that peace that God has made available. The angels said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men and women. Humanity with whom he is pleased. The angels, please listen, the angels may be proclaimers of this peace, but only Jesus Christ can give you this peace. The angels were sent by God on a mission to proclaim a peace that now was available, that wasn't available before Jesus came, because there was an obstacle between a relationship with God and us, and that was sin. Jesus came into the world, was born in a manger to deal with the obstacle between us and peace with God. Jesus is the Emmanuel. Jesus is the Savior. Peace among men can only be found when we first have peace with God. You want peace at Christmas tomorrow, or Christmas Eve tomorrow and Christmas the next day? Peace at all those family gatherings and all those people, cousins and uncles and aunts and neighbors you're going to see? You want peace in the workplace in the new year when you return? It begins by having peace first with God and peace within yourself, because your sins are forgiven and because you've been made right with him. And that's why Jesus came. I hear so many people say, I want to have Christmas all year long. And I say, you can. You can have the peace that Christmas is all about. God is with us. That is the Christmas miracle. God demonstrated his love for each of you, for me, by sending his unique son. his one and only Son. To die on the cross, that's Good Friday. To be resurrected and to defeat death, that's Easter. Why? Not just so that those of us who believe the historical facts, which are easily able to be verified, but for those of us who put our faith that this Jesus that was born, this Jesus that grew up and died on the cross, that when we put our faith and our hope in him, then we do have peace with God. We have rest in our soul. And that changes everything. The first Christmas was a rescue mission. And that rescue mission is still happening today, right here, as I proclaim to you the truth of Christmas. Jesus said these words in John 14:27, the Gospel of John. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Just like those first angels said, do not be afraid. In some of Jesus' last words in that upper room discourse, right before he went to the cross, he says, my peace I give to you. And that is a direct fulfillment of the peace that the angels proclaim. The reason Jesus came was for this purpose, to offer you peace. Do not be afraid. God is with us, and he wants you to experience his joy and his love and his forgiveness. God will keep his promise because God always keeps his promise. God's peace is for all those on whom he favors. And so many people ask me, well, who is it that God favors? And I simply say, those who can hear his call upon your heart and will answer. And so if you hear God's call upon your heart to answer and receive this peace, then you are the one that God favors. And God will keep his promise in your life now and for eternity. Because this promise is not limited by this body. Though this body will fail you, and it will be buried. God will never fail you. He will not only bring you into heaven to be with him, but he'll also resurrect this body one day. And he'll give you a new heaven and a new earth, and all things will be made right. That's the peace Jesus came for. He ushered in that, but it's not fully here yet. We're still waiting because it's still hard, and we still have a hard time believing that God can keep his promises, but he will, because he's kept every single one of them. In the same way he fulfilled every promise of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, he will fulfill all the promises of the new heaven, the new earth. Advent does not end on Christmas. Advent begins, because Advent is anticipation and awaiting upon all the promises of God being fulfilled. And it starts right now. Emmanuel, Jesus is the Christmas miracle to which the angels stand in awe and wonder of God and his glory and his mercy and his grace. The angels stand in awe at the great love of the Father for all of you. And they now stand and watch and wonder in awe at what we're going to do with what God's done for us. And that's the invitation this morning. Have you opened your mind and your heart to receive the first and greatest Christmas gift ever given? The miracle of peace on earth. Goodwill from God to you. Will you receive? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the Christmas miracle. We thank you for the greatest gift ever given, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has made it possible for us to experience Emmanuel. God is with us. We thank you for the presentation by our children. We thank you for the reading of Scripture by our young adults. We thank you for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which gives life to those who believe. And we pray, Father God, now that your Holy Spirit would come upon us and restore unto us the joy of our salvation so that we may proclaim, so that we may live in the fullness of, so that we may feel the love of you, God. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this opportunity to say, Jesus, I pray and I believe that you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins. I believe that through the forgiveness of your sins, I am born again. I'm alive. I am restored into a relationship with you. I can now experience a deep abiding peace that is not only for this life, but the life to come. Help me to believe and help me to live according to that faith every day. May I carry the Christmas miracle with me, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.